Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I want us to talk about something tonight that is very valuable. You might even say it's something that is precious. I want us to key in for a few moments here on the word precious in Scripture. And I want us to start in the book of Psalms. If you just close your Bible and lay it on its spine, open up in the middle, you should wind up in Psalms more times than not. Psalm 118 is the middle of the Bible. And so usually if you get close, you'll get Psalms or maybe Isaiah. That's close enough. But Psalm 49 and verse 8, I want us to talk about some valuable things in Scripture. Some valuable things in Scripture. And I want you to notice here what this psalm says. It was for the sons of Korah. It was a psalm of instruction. If you may remember, Korah, the descendants of Korah, played a big role in worship, but Korah was the one that defied Moses. And when he did, God caused the ground to open up and swallow him whole. His descendants would go on to serve in the worship. And I want you to notice here in verse 8 of Psalm 49, a parenthetical statement. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. There are a lot of things in this earth that are worth a lot of money. You can buy a house that's worth a lot of money. You can have vehicles that are worth a lot of money. One of those that I just gave you an example of will always go up in value. And one of those, it goes down in value from the minute you own it. Of course, anything with a motor, it seems to go down in value. People buy investments. They buy stocks. We like precious things, precious pictures, precious pieces of artwork. But right here, by inspiration, we see the most precious soul, or the most precious thing, and that's a soul. Jesus will ask the question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16. Or what will it profit a man if he gains everything that this world has and yet loses his own soul? We talk about valuable things. I want to show you that the soul is more valuable than money. And I want us to look as we go through Scripture of some more valuable things. Let's go back and we're going to go through the Bible. So back up into 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll start there. 1 Samuel chapter 3, as we look at valuable things. Of course, you've got two books of Samuel. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then you get 1 Samuel. And Ruth's an awful short book if you wind up there. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. Notice here, if you remember, Samuel was prayed for. His mother Hannah, she couldn't have any children. And so she prayed and prayed and prayed to the Lord that he would give her a child. And notice here, she has a child, says, when I have weaned him, I will give him back to you. And that child is Samuel. And the child, chapter 3, verse 1, ministered unto Samuel, unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open visions. So there weren't people going around just prophesying. The most important thing they had was God's word. Well, doesn't that kind of sound like us today? We don't have prophets going around speaking what God has told them to speak, although there are a lot of people who want you to think otherwise. God does not speak to us today through prophets. We learned that in the first few verses of Hebrews. He now speaks through his Son, and his Son left us his word. God's word is precious. Think about that. A soul is precious. God's word is precious. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 116 and verse 15. You'll hear this one quoted, probably. I know I tend to quote it at certain times as events happen. I think about Psalm 116 and verse 15. When we've lost a dearly beloved brother or sister who has just labored their entire life in the Lord. And Psalm 116 is interesting. It has no title. It's just a psalm. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. Don't you think about certain people that have gone on to their reward, who have labored their entire life, faithful, doing this good work and doing that good work, and when they reach the end of their journey, maybe it's time for them to go. It's a precious thing. Because that is a soul that is going to rest from their labors. So precious is the soul of the faithful. precious is God's Word. Nothing's more precious from God's Word than the soul. Let's keep going to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 15. Proverbs 3:15 will give you a little insight, maybe to help you understand the book of Proverbs. It's really a love letter. Maybe not a love letter in the way you think it is. It's a love letter from a father to a son. Solomon's got a handful of writings. He has Song of Solomon. I almost see that as a love letter. I mean, we know it is a love letter. But it's a love letter maybe to a spouse or someone he'd like to be a spouse. You can think of it that way. I think of Proverbs as a love letter to his son. Because he says, chapter 3, verse 1, my son, he keeps addressing him, my son, my son. I've often wondered just exactly what son that is. We've only got one named son of Solomon in Scripture. I was thinking of Ecclesiastes as a love letter to himself at the end of his life. Kind of, I've done everything. But notice chapter 3 and verse 15. She, who is she? Go back, put it in context. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Aha! He talks a lot in the early chapters of Proverbs about wisdom. And he calls wisdom a female. She. So notice, wisdom, she is more precious than rubies. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. How do you get wisdom? By reading the precious Word of God. You see how this all is tied together. If you want to have wisdom that is more precious than rubies, you've got to get in God's Word. Let's stay in the writings of Solomon, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, then we'll move to the New Testament here. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. Notice here what Solomon says at the end of his life. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Well, that latter phrase kind of makes me think about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints, doesn't it, you? When we are faithful to the end, that's a blessing. But notice here, a good name is better than a precious ointment. So what's precious? A good name. If you came from a good family name, you should honor that. You should be thankful for that. But if you didn't come from a good name, you can still make yourself a good name. And you could leave that good name to go on for generations and generations to come. Of course, I think about a spiritual application. The best name there is Christian. And you only get that by studying God's Word and then being obedient to it. So we see a good name is precious. Let's go to the New Testament now. And we're really just going to stay in Peter's writings. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. I'll show you a precious thing. I don't want to rank one thing above another, but this one's awful precious to me. Notice Peter says, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ was precious. And that it's what bought me back from sin. It's what bought you back from sin. It's what paid the note on my head. It's what set me free. It's what put me in a reconciled right relationship with my Lord. And no wonder he calls it precious. And I think about precious things, you don't want to mar it. You don't want to make it maybe not in vain. That's why we want to be obedient to his commands. So the blood of Christ definitely is precious. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, first verse, maybe a page over, two pages maybe. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter introduces himself. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, your proof of authorship to them, Gentiles, who have obtained the like precious faith with us, Jews, through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The what? They have attained what, Peter? The like precious faith. Well, that faith of God, or the faithfulness of God even, that's pretty precious, isn't it? That means if God said something, he's going to do it. If he made a promise, he's going to keep it. If he gave a punishment, if there's a caveat, if you do this, you'll be punished, and you better believe he's going to do it. Because God is faithful. And whatever he said, those are precious faithfulness. Our last one, jump down to verse 4. Stay in the chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. This kind of goes with our faithfulness as well. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These promises, if I am obedient to them, I get a good name. I have been bought back by God's faithfulness. I have obeyed the Lord, the word of the Lord. I have let the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse me of my sins. I have taken part of God's infinite wisdom to allow this to happen, and I have increased my wisdom by reading and studying and becoming obedient, and I get that good name, that name of Christ. That makes my life precious. That's all seven of our precious things. But you know what? All of these involve being obedient to Christ. All of these involve being in Christ, which means if you're outside of Christ, you don't have access to these precious promises, to the precious faithfulness. Your life, I mean, it's still precious, but if you're not a saint, your death is not precious in God's eyes. He mourns. He doesn't want you to die in a lost state. That's why He doesn't want anyone to perish. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Stay in the book. But it's long suffering. That's the faithfulness of God. Pretty precious, isn't it? If you're not obedient to God, if you don't have that good name, you can have it by becoming a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going down that water grave, coming out a new creature, alive in Christ. If you are, be faithful. If you're not faithful, repent. That's a faithful promise of God. He says, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive them. And that precious blood of Jesus continues to flow.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. For the time being, I just thought we would read the Word. Now, if you want to catch this program again, you can do so anytime online at my website. That's readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. This is program 177. I thought we would just read some of John's gospel account, shall we? Let's begin in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There went a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, which the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, Who art thou? But he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. And they said, Who art thou, that we may give an answer? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the pathway of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. That's the first 23 verses of John's gospel account. Thank you for being with us. We hope you can join us again next week here on Reading the Word. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.